Father Kevin Nadolski is the communications director and the vocations director for the Oblates of St. Francis de Sales, and he is my guest this morning on Catholic Forum. Good morning, Father.
Good morning, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us this morning. Tell us, in case our listeners might not be familiar with the Oblates of St. Francis de Sales, it's a religious community of men, priests and brothers.
That is correct.
There are also Oblate sisters as well.
That is correct.
They're
yes.
Kind of a different
cousins.
Yeah. Well, tell us about your community.
Sure. Well, as you said so well, the Oblates of St. Francis de Sales are a religious community of priests and brothers who minister in the church throughout the world. We were founded by the Visitation sisters. Mother Mary de Sales Chapuis was the mother superior of a monastery convent in Troyes, France. And her chaplain, Father Louis Brisson, the two of them were good friends. And they prayed together and chatted and visited for many years. And it was their insight together that there should be a religious community of men committed to spreading what's called the spiritual directory of St. Francis de Sales. You probably know, since Francis de Sales is the patron saint of the Diocese of Wilmington here, that Francis de Sales was a bishop who was born in 1567, and then he was ordained a bishop to serve in a place called Annecy. But when he was a young boy, when he was a college student, he certainly wanted to get closer to God, and he wrote a system, for lack of a better word. He wrote out in his prayer journal a methodology how he could grow in holiness, how he could live Jesus. And that methodology is called the Spiritual Directory of St. Francis de Sales. And we as Oblate priests and brothers really take that methodology, that Spiritual Directory of St. Francis de Sales, as the means by which we can live Jesus. It's 10 very small articles that govern our day, from our rising to our retiring and everything in between, from our recreation to our dining to our prayer, how we go to Mass and the like. That we believe in faith, that by connecting our daily actions with the extraordinary grace of God, that we can live Jesus. So our mission, very simply, is to pass on that methodology to all people, the students whom we teach at, say, Salesianum School here in Wilmington, or some of the other schools where we work, or our parishioners, whether it's at St. Anthony's or some of the places where we minister up and down the East Coast, to pass on that very fundamental spirit of living Jesus by connecting the ordinary with God's grace so that we can live extraordinary lives.
You mentioned that the Oblates of St. Francis de Sales are an international organization all around the world. Your group is, it's called the Wilmington, Philadelphia Province,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And what geographic area does that cover?
The Wilmington, Philadelphia Province of the Oblates of St. Francis de Sales, more commonly known as the Eastern Province, and that is because we minister all the way from Boston to Southwest Florida. In all kinds of different, what we would call apostolates or ministries, from parishes to middle school, high school, colleges, campus ministry, prison ministry, hospital chaplaincy, and the like, all different ways in which the ministries of the church are needed. And so there are different places that emerge that present needs to our leadership, and then if there is a man whose gifts and his talents can match the needs of the church, then that discernment, that dialogic process whereby the Oblate himself and our leadership talk about how he can best use his skills, his gifts, in the service of the church, then decisions are made as to how somebody could be assigned.
For our listeners that might not be familiar, what's the difference between, say, a diocesan priest and a religious community priest like the Oblates? And also, what's the difference between an Oblate priest or a Jesuit priest or Franciscan priest? I know we have a short program, so if you can answer those two questions in about 30 seconds, I'd appreciate it.
That's a tall task, Bob, but I'll certainly try. Well, the first one I'll tackle is the difference between a religious priest, or that is somebody who's connected to a religious community, and a diocesan priest. Very simply, a religious priest, member of an order, takes vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience to God. A diocesan priest takes promises of celibacy and obedience to the local bishop. When I was teaching at Salesianum School and a student would ask this question, I would always respond by saying, vows to God are permanent, and promises to the bishop, they may be altered if the person to whom the promise is being made changes the discipline. For example, let's just say for the sake of discussion, if the bishop or the Bishop of Rome, Pope Benedict XVI or one of his successors, were to change the discipline, say, around celibacy, well, then the promise of celibacy would no longer be necessary because that promise has been changed,
mm-hmm.
that it's not necessarily permanent. It rests within the context of the relationship between the person who has made it and the person who has received it. So it's a promise. Whereas vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience are made to God. And those vows govern the way we live our lives. The poverty calls us to a simplicity which we strive for. It also calls us to a common life, that we live together, that we share all things in common. The obedience is that we are indeed accountable to our superiors, our local superior, and then our provincial superior. And then chastity is that all of our energies that come from God, that all of our energies are directed in a very loving way to the service of God and God's people and in the church.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that distinction is kind of important to remember, the notion of vows and the notion of promises. The second thing I would add to it is that as a member of a religious community, we are not limited to one specific geographic region.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you're a member of a diocese, specifically Wilmington, you're almost guaranteed that you will only serve in the parish churches or in the ministries that are within the limits of the diocesan boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas as an oblate of St. Francis de Sales, just take myself as an example, I have lived and worked in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, the Diocese of Wilmington, the Archdiocese of Washington, the Diocese of Arlington in Virginia. So in my brief time in the Oblates, shortly under 20 years, I think I've worked in, say, four or five different dioceses and archdioceses and have got to meet, great people,
mm-hmm.
and seen different things and the way the churches are different in terms of style or tempo, which is kind of exciting.
Mm-hmm.
The essentials are indeed the same. But in terms of some of those other dimensions, there's a little difference. So it's kind of neat to sample the different ways in which we as Catholics experience this one church that we love so much.
Mm-hmm. What about the difference between various religious orders?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the way that you pray together? Is that basically, or is it or the spirituality? Is that primarily the difference?
Well, I would say that's one of the differences. There's a few other things. I think I mentioned to you that we Oblates of St. Francis de Sales follow the spiritual directory that he wrote when he was a college student. And each religious community has what we would call a rule of life that would govern, if you will, their prayer life, how they live, their spirit, maybe even their ethos. Francis de Sales was a man of deep optimism. Where he saw the human person as the high point of God's creation. So there was a fundamental goodness that he loved to bathe in as he understood humanity. So that optimism is so essential and grounding to our spirituality. The other religious communities have their different rules. For example, the Franciscans, who their great founder, St. Francis of Assisi, the way in which he was able to just be so alive by the poverty of Jesus Christ, that by connecting to the poverty of Christ Jesus, that's a way in which he was able to spread the gospel. So different religious communities reflect the spirit of their founders. And I guess I just would like to add that while there are many different religious orders, because there's many different saints and women and men who have founded them, they all go back to the gospel of Jesus Christ. St. Francis de Sales himself, a little word from our sponsor here, he said that the church is a garden patterned with unlimited flowers, pointing to the richness of the church. And the unlimited flowers are the Oblates of St. Francis de Sales and the Franciscans and the Jesuits and the baptized Roman Catholic people who live Jesus in their own individual vocations. And together we do create this phenomenal garden But it all is planted in the soil that is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Very, very well put. So what would you tell a young man who's considering a vocation, or maybe thinks that he may have a vocation? What advice would you give to him?
Well, the first thing that I would encourage him to do is to pray. Very simply, in his own prayer life, whatever he finds to work for him, to really ask God for the grace of wisdom, to see that, you know, whether this is indeed coming from the Lord. The second thing is I would ask him to talk with a trusted friend, maybe even a trusted adult, and ask the very basic question, do you think I'd be good at that?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very important that we look at potential candidates for ministry in the church based on their skills and their personalities, because the church needs women and men who are smart, who are balanced, who have good senses of humor, who are committed to the poor, and able to preach the Word of God. Those skill sets are very, very important. And I think it's important that they not so much be tested, but rather be assessed by smart people in the church, mm-hmm. to see that the gifts that belong to a man can, in fact, be enjoyed by the people of God.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say pray, and then I would say talk to someone you trust to see if you think that they would enjoy your being a minister, that they could benefit, that their family in times of need, in times of celebration, could benefit from your potential ministry. And the third thing is that I would encourage them to do some information gathering. As a vocation director, I work with a number of men who have lots of questions, and vocation directors are supposed to be resource people who provide a lot of information. Our webpage, I would like to think, has a fair amount of information on there that might resonate with some of the interests of some young man who's in discernment or thinking about a religious vocation. So those three things: prayer, check it out with someone you trust, and then the third thing is to gather information.
What about your vocation? What brought you to the Oblates of St. Francis de Sales?
Well, as a schoolboy in Northeast Philadelphia, I went to Father Judge High School, which, similar to Salesianum School, a school of 1,600 boys, and we had more than 45 Oblates of St. Francis de Sales on the faculty and staff there, and they were really great men. Many of them were my teachers, my activity moderators, and the like, and I just liked the joy with which they lived their lives. There was nothing extraordinary in terms of being the best teachers on the planet. Just as a core of men,
mm-hmm.
They reflected a collective joy that was very attractive to me. And then also, I had the opportunity to be the dishwasher in their house. And as the dishwasher in their house, I got to see them at their home,
mm-hmm.
as they relaxed, as they were not necessarily at work. And quite frankly, that's where I saw the beauty of them, and sometimes it was even in their brokenness. I remember one of the Oblates who lived there and taught at our school was struggling with alcoholism, and it was clear to me that he was very, very sick with this disease. And I remember talking to my history teacher, who was an Oblate priest, and said, "Hey, Father, why aren't you helping out your brother there who's struggling?" And he said, "Maybe we've tried a number of times, but for whatever reason, we're not able to help him, or he's not able to receive our help, but we still love him, mm-hmm. and we take care of him." And I remember that experience of real brokenness spoke to me about the beauty of humanity, even when it's not perfect, and that we are called to love each other even when it's hard. And I suppose that really touched me. I mean, I still go back to it out of high school more than 25 years. But that really did speak to me, and I thought, this is a group of men who would always take care of me too,
mm-hmm.
Even if I were struggling, and that I would be called forth to take care of someone else. Mm-hmm. And I saw that as a real instance of the gospel in action.
Mm-hmm. If our listeners would like some more information about your ministry, about the Oblates of St. Francis de Sales, where can they go? You mentioned a website.
Sure, that would be the best spot. Very easy. It's www.oblates.org. There you could find information on our vocation program, our Salesian Spirituality Center, our history, the various ministries which we exercise. Or if you're familiar with an Oblate ministry, obviously there are links to our website from places like Salesianum School, St. Anthony, Padua Parish, Nativity, Prep, whatever it might be. So there's many ways for you to contact us.
Great. Father Kevin Nadolski, thanks so much for being with us today on Catholic Forum.
Thank you very much, Bob.